Exodus 15. We will get started tonight. We'll get started. We'll jump right into it. We'll save some of those things for prayer time, because we are going to have prayer time tonight. I'm not going to talk for the entire time. Yes, Exodus 15, verse 26. Exodus 15, 26. All right, let's begin with a word of prayer, please. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be together tonight and for the opportunity to be able to open your word. I'm thankful, Lord, that every time that we come to your word, you feed us and you nurture us and strengthen us and grow us. Lord, we want to be more like you. We want to know more about you. We want to grow in our knowledge of you. And so I pray that this evening your Holy Spirit would use your word to purify us and prepare us, Lord. I pray that we would grow this evening from the truth and the power of your word. We commit this time to you and ask you, Father, just to bless it and to use it for your kingdom. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, Exodus chapter 15, starting in verse 26, and then we'll talk about this passage just a little bit. And said, the Lord is speaking here, if thou wilt gently hearken to the Lord. Sorry. My mind has like Dilla on the first line and gently down here, and I just skipped right ahead to it. Okay, let's start again, all right? And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and give and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. The Lord that healeth thee. And tonight we are looking at the name that is brought here by the Lord himself when he says that I am the Lord that healeth thee. And he says, I am Jehovah Rapha, or Jehovah or Yahweh Rapha. And this passage is at the tail end of a little incident that occurs. The children of Israel have crossed the Red Sea, as you'll see in verse 21 or something like that, 23. They cross the Red Sea. They come out of that incident. The Egyptians are drowned in the sea, and they're led into this desert area, and it says, where there is no water. And for 3 days, they have no water. And so there's the provision of water. And then they find water, but it's bitter water. And the Lord and the children of Israel murmur, of course. Moses goes to the Lord. He tells him to put a tree into it, a specific tree, and it turns it into sweet water or good or purified water. And the Lord speaks to them at the end of that and says, if you'll hearken unto me, if you'll do what I tell you to do, if you'll walk, before me, then one of the promises that I'll make for you is that I will not bring any of the diseases upon thee. And he says, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Interesting little side note here is when you get down to verse 27, it says, and they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. It's like they went, Lord was leading them, and they were saying, hey, we're thirsty. You have this incident about being thirsty. And then right after that is, and they arrive at a place with 12 wells and palm trees. It's like Moses describes this like oasis in the desert. And they go there where they have plenty of water. But they had to go through this incident. They had to murmur. They didn't have to, but they murmured. The Lord used that to teach them. And so the name here, Jehovah Rapha, comes to us. Now, we can see, especially in the Old Testament, That when we think about the word heal or healing or healeth thee, it comes with a couple of meanings, right? There is, of course, the direct meaning of physical healing. But over and over again, we see this word also used for spiritual healing, okay? And really, the word heal is used in multiple ways and sometimes a little confusing in the Old Testament or hard to interpret, whereas in the New Testament, it seems to be much, much clearer in its interpretation and its understanding, okay? Let's just look at a couple instances in the Old Testament of physical healing. So Exodus 23, 25. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. Okay, obviously this is a reference to his physical healing. Another well-known reference to his physical healing was in 2 Kings 20, where Hezekiah prays. Let's just read that. 2 Kings 20, verse 5. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day, thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord. So here we see this word being used, obviously, in the sense of physical healing. And then finally, 1 Kings chapter 17. 1 Kings 17 in verse 20. He says, and he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? This is, of course, Elijah, the widow that kept him and cared for him and was minister to him. He had already performed the miracle there of the endless oil, and her son falls sick and dies. Verse 21, and he stretched forth himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him. And so here we have Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals, the Lord who heals. And interesting uses of that, of course. And this is primarily under the context of physical healing. But this also comes to us through spiritual healing. And for that, the most I think famous passage would be Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. And of course, starting in verse 4 there, he says, surely he hath borne our griefs, carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Here, this is a spiritual word, transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, sin, spiritual word. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. This word stripes and the word bruised actually in this verse are the same Hebrew word. What's going on over here? What's that? Sheila. Man, oh man. Oh, okay, okay, good. Okay, good. No problem. All right, look at verse 5. The word bruised is the same word as stripes in the Hebrew. And so you could say, with his bruises we are healed, with his stripes we are healed. But again, every word here is there's a physical, wounded is physical, transgression spiritual, bruised physical, iniquity spiritual. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, chastisement, right, physical, and with his stripes, physical, we are healed, spiritual. And so there's this idea of Jehovah Rapha comes to us throughout the Old Testament. But it also, of course, speaks to us of the New Testament. Do you know, or does anyone know, how many times Jesus healed someone in the Gospels? Healed someone. How many times? Anyone have a guess? Now, we'll exclude from this count the times when it says, and the whole city came to him, and he healed all of them, right? Because we don't know how many people that is. There are some references, I think like in Mark, where he makes these big generalizations, and you're like, how many people was that? Just an amazing thing. I'm not endorsing The Chosen, but we have watched The Chosen a few times, and there's one episode where he's healing, and there's just this mass of people and line of people, and the disciples go to bed and wake up, and Jesus is still healing the next person and healing the next person. And it just kind of gives you a visual of what this might have been like, what this could have, how it could have gone. It's just an incredible thing. But the Gospels record 23 times that Jesus heals. And it could be multiple people, of course, but 23 accounts of Jesus healing in the Gospels. And so, of course, we understand that to be physical healing, right? That in the New Testament, it is much, much clearer. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9, and we will see somebody that has been healed both spiritually or physically and spiritually. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2. And behold, they brought him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Is that physical or spiritual? Spiritual, right? And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth both to forgive sins, then saith he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. Look at verse 8. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Right? Glorified God. So here we have an incident where Jesus heals a man physically and heals a man spiritually. Same man. Which healing did Jesus put the emphasis upon? Spiritual, right? Now, this is something that we all fully understand and know. We know that spiritual healing is more important than physical healing. Right? But when you're sick, what feels more important to you? Right, physical healing, right? You want to be physically healed. I think this verse gives us some insight into the question that I've been thinking about a lot recently, which is why? Why do we get sick? If Jesus and if God can heal us, why do we get sick? And of course, we understand that there are the natural effects of sin and death in the earth, and that we are not immune from those. Jesus told us that we're not immune from those things, that we will see them and encounter them and be reminded of our humanity and frailty and the effects of sin, right? When we come to a funeral, when we mourn, we are mourning, of course, the loss of the person, but we're also mourning the effects of death on earth. And this is the result of sin and the effect of sin, and this is the end result of sin. But when it's you individually who are sick, right, or a family member, like your father in the hospital. Oh, sorry. He's here now. Well, the last few weeks I've talked about you nonstop, so I'm just kidding. But you start to wonder why, right? And I think that this passage gives us insight into that, which is that Jesus understands and knows that spiritual healing, spiritual health is more important than physical health. And he is willing to use physical health to bring you to spiritual health. Could Jesus have healed this man, told him to get up and walk, and he could have got up and walked out? He could have, right? I believe the people there would have had the same response. Jesus healed this man. Wow, right? And we learn as we go through the Gospels that the people that were following him, some understood the spiritual, some, but most of them were there because they were seeing physical miracles. I believe that God, and here in this example, Jesus, will use physical sickness to bring about spiritual good. Because that's more important. And sometimes the way that he has to communicate to us, or he has to get our attention, or he has to not even just to do that, but to work out what he wants to work out, is that we have to endure sickness. And for this man, who was sick of palsy, lying on a bed, imagine, for years at a time, leading him ultimately to a meeting with the Savior. When he walked away, right, he didn't, I'm not sure he said this, but you could imagine this man's testimony is Jehovah Rapha, right? I've been healed. I've been healed physically. I've been healed spiritually. Now, this type of understanding, this type of teaching can be hard when you have perhaps a long-term permanent illness or sickness, a long-term challenge with something. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but we know that Lori lost her eyesight due to a sickness. And when we talk about the Lord healing and saying the Lord can heal, right? And all of us healthy people are like, yeah, amen. And someone who struggles with this, like Lori, I can imagine, is sitting there going, what about me? Right? Lori, do you ever feel that way? Right. Right. Amen. And that is a hard, hard thing for people to come to. That's a very difficult thing. Now, in other places, you see Jesus using the physical healing first, right, as opposed to the spiritual healing. He heals a blind man. And then, notice, remember in the temple, he heals a blind man, and then he goes and finds the blind man again and introduces himself as the Savior, the Son of God. And that's physical and spiritual, but in a different order. See, God uses these things and orchestrates these things ultimately for the good, for our good, and for his glory, as verse 8 says. And they marveled it and glorified God. Can God be glorified through your sickness? Can God be glorified through your sickness? He absolutely can, right? It's something that can be very, very hard. This is true when it comes to things like perhaps losing a child or, things of great loss, right? Can God be glorified in those things? He can. He can, and he wants to be. They're just hard for us to understand. This is where the eternal view becomes so important. That the spiritual is so worth so much more than the physical. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul talks about this. That which is seen is temporal. And that which is not seen is eternal. And when you really put things on the scale of temporal and eternal, you start to gain more of God's perspective on things. And so we're thankful for that. And we're thankful for his mercy that many, many times people who are sick, who are coming even to their deathbed, God uses that to bring them to himself. Mel Boyce being our most recent testimony of that. He had to wait all the way to the very end, but God used his physical limitations to bring him to that place, confronted with death. And isn't God merciful to give him that time? You know, I believe that's the result of prayer. That's what prayer does. Praying for someone gives them that time. It all comes down to God's mercy. And ultimately, He is glorified in it. Jehovah Rapha. Next time you're sick, I hope that you can see how God might use this for His glory and for your good. And allow Him to work through you, even though you're going through a difficult time. This is, in closing, this is also a way that we can be praying for those that are sick, is to also be thinking about that. Let me just say this I just said in closing, so this is in a postscript. I don't think it's wrong to pray for physical healing, of course. But I think what we really should be emphasizing is that God would accomplish what He's desiring to accomplish, right? And that whoever is sick would be willing to allow God to work in them to that end, and that it could be accomplished through them. This is, I think, a hard thing to sometimes wrap our minds around, but I believe that you know, ultimately God wants to use it for a purpose. There is a purpose for it. We need to be willing to allow Him to work the way that He desires to work. And so hopefully Jehovah Rapha is a blessing to you. All right, let's think about turning our attention to prayer.